on Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife,
Marie.
And you are going in SmackDown Live. Who needs Raw?
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, Brendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson. Also available wherever fine podcasts are available, including, of course, iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher Radio, SoundCloud.com/Steven Larson.
Yes, to all those.
We're available so many different places, Larson. It's wonderful.
Yes.
And we're also, of course, on the Patreon. If you wanted to support the show at patreon.com/Steven Larson. For those $20 patrons, that Friendo Care Package is coming along. I know it's been a long time waiting. It's going to be worth it. Look at these. These came in today from Sticker Mule. We had these made up, and they're lovely, these vinyl stickers.
Yes, so
they'll be
nice.
In the Friendo Care Package.
Very nice.
That's a lot of fun for the $20 page. All you got to do, 1 month of $20 patronage, and then you can hop back down to 5, 10, 1,
yep.
0. You can hop right back out, and we're going to, everybody who ever put in a $20 monthly patronage
yes.
amount.
Get stickers, get comic book, guys, other stuff.
Other stuff. Autographs from us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways.
Postcards.
And, of course, we now have our shirt, which I'm waiting anxiously to receive said shirt because I ordered it from ProWrestlingTees.com/Going In Raw. We've got our Going In Raw t-shirt there. I'm going to be uploading. You're about to take a trip, and so in your absence, I'm going to start uploading a couple more designs. This right here is a Joey Ryan shirt, King of Dong Style. It's not actually our shirt. That's
but
Joey.
It is
from Pro Wrestling Tees. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm a big mark for the Joey Ryan. He likes to grab people in their private parts.
He does.
Did you see the one? What was it? God, I'm trying to remember the promotion. I just saw it tweeted out. Oh, it was from Hood Slam. We gotta go to Hood Slam.
I know.
To go there. It's like in our backyard. He, a female wrestler. I don't know who it was, but a woman wrestler. He was fighting a woman, and she did the same thing that he does to everybody, but in her junk. She grabbed his hand, or he grabbed it. I forget how it worked, but his hand was down there in the junk. And she gave him, I don't even know what the move was called. I have to research all that shit. But it was fairly entertaining. She has a very strong V down there, apparently. So, yeah, Joey Ryan is great. I love that shit, dude. Man.
So I guess we have to talk about SmackDown, yeah?
Oh, is that what this show's for? I was like, we already did Raw. This shit is taking forever. By the time this goes up, I wonder if Raw's going to be up yet.
Yes, it's being a little slow.
It's been stuck at like 2.5 hours forever, but it's like inching along in terms of the percentage. Now it's at 53%. And the fucking thing's been uploading since 4 o'clock. It's been 3 hours.
3 hours.
Ah! Life of a YouTube person.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway.
Especially doing long form content.
No kidding, man. We went forever today on the this morning on the Rawcast. Anyways.
Yeah.
So we just got finished watching SmackDown. So we're going to talk about that now.
Yeah.
Kind of an underwhelming episode, to be completely frank with you.
Well, yeah, nothing really happened.
Nothing really happened. That's the problem. Nothing happened. It was supposed to be the AJ style. I mean, I think they had to call an audible on this one because AJ busted his. He had a minor ankle injury.
Yeah, but he opened the show,
mm-hmm.
Walked out to the ring wearing a boot.
Yes, a boot.
On left.
I don't know, one of his feet. Whichever one had the busted
left,
minor ankle injury.
Left foot.
Yeah.
He had a boot on that foot. Came out, dropped a promo,
mm-hmm.
said first he wanted to address something, showed a still of his butthole.
He said, look at that. It's great.
Yeah. He said, no, that's not what I'm talking about. Oh, no, he said, no. Everybody thought I was talking about my ankle.
Yeah.
He said, yeah, I'm not medically cleared to wrestle tonight, so no match with Ellsworth.
Yeah.
So that brings Ellsworth out.
Yeah. Nobody's. I don't think anybody's like really booing him yet. They booed him at the pay per view.
No, there he got some boos tonight.
Did he get boos tonight?
Yeah.
I thought I heard cheers.
It was a mix.
It was a mix.
Yeah.
I think people want to cheer him because it's the Ellsworth phenomenon, but at the same time, they're just so sick of seeing him. Like because people love AJ Styles and people still love Dean Ambrose.
Yeah.
And sure enough, so Ellsworth comes down, and ready to fight basically.
Yeah, he complains about the fact that he can't get his match tonight.
And AJ basically says, dude, you need to be less worried about that and more worried about Dean Ambrose. He says, the difference between me and Dean is I know when to stop beating up on you, and Dean doesn't. And which brought out Dean Ambrose.
Yeah, he comes out and just delivers dirty deeds to Ellsworth and walks right out of the ring.
Walks right back. AJ was cracking up. Everybody cheered that shit. So, yeah, though we talked about this earlier on our on yesterday's show.
Yeah.
There is no danger of Dean Ambrose turning heel by attacking James Ellsworth. People will cheer that shit.
Yeah.
I think Dean would have a hard time turning heel anyway. It'd have to be something pretty major, and James Ellsworth is not major.
Yeah.
So, anyways, that just sort of, you know, it set up the rest of the night. The Wyatts, the newly crowned tag team champions, the Wyatt family, they came out with their tag titles. They took on Slater and Reiner for the rematch. They spliced some of Randy's music.
Well, and they did this at TLC.
Oh, they did that at TLC. Okay.
Where they start out with Randy's theme.
And then it breaks down.
And then it segues into the Wyatt theme. Yeah.
Right. Okay. But in their little Smash thing.
Yeah. There's a couple of shots of Randy.
There's a couple shots of Randy. Yeah. I didn't notice that before.
I didn't notice that at TLC either.
Might have been there, might not have been there, yeah. But they took on. It was a lengthier match.
Yeah, it was longer than the match at TLC.
The one at TLC, they put up a bit. Slater and Rhino put up a little bit more of a fight. But the cool thing about it was that it ended with a pretty interesting variation on the finisher. So like Wyatt had Slater ready for a Sister Abigail.
Yeah, then Orton gets himself up on the apron and extends his hand for a tag.
Right, and Wyatt tags him in. Randy comes around. Wyatt gives a kiss to the forehead of his victim, of Slater, and shoots him back at Orton, who gives an RKO. One of our friendos on Twitter said, you know, this. I feel like this could have been a smoother motion. Maybe Wyatt starts to execute the Sister Abigail and throws the guy back, as opposed to, in this case, he just sort of stood there and threw him back. But I thought it was cool because it was almost like Wyatt was dumping a bag of garbage for somebody else to take out.
Yeah,
that's what looked cool about it.
But also,
because Wyatt didn't even look back.
Yeah, when Randy does the RKO, he jumps, and he would have to, I don't know, pretty much slide.
RKO someone
who was in the motion of being Sister Abigail. Yeah.
I thought it looked really cool.
Yeah, I thought it was cool too
because it totally establishes Wyatt's like feeding Randy a victim.
Yeah.
You know, which is an interesting dynamic.
Yeah.
So that was really cool. So we kind of called that one. Slater and Rhino get their rematch. Now they're done with. I wonder, is Slater and Rhino going to continue as a tag team? I think they're still gas in that particular tank. They didn't do anything with them after that major initial sort of run with the titles.
I know.
So I think they can still get some use out of them.
Oh,
it's just a matter of using them right.
Well, now that they're not champions anymore, there's a storyline finally for them.
Yeah. So then we had a Kalisto interview.
Yeah, he talked about how...
Talked about the dangers of doing speed.
Well, he said speed kills. I don't think he was referencing directly the drug.
The
amphetamine.
I think
he meant in his matchup, another rematch from TLC on SmackDown against Baron Corbin, that he would have to better utilize his...
Speed.
His quickness advantage.
Oh.
Not...
I thought he meant he was going to get Baron down and then shoot him up with something.
I don't think he meant anything like methamphetamines.
Is that how you take meth? No, you smoke it, don't you?
I think
you?
There's various ways.
You're smoking meth. That's the phrase.
Mom. I think there's various ways.
Mom?
I think there's various ways. Mom?
Right? This is weird. Wow. That guy crazy. Anyways. Yeah, so Kalisto said, I'm going to do drugs tonight. And then Carmella dropped a promo in the ring. She was set to take on Natalya, but first she gets on the mic and reiterates that Natalya
was the one who beat up Nikki Bella.
Yeah, Natalya seems to take issue with that. Anyways, Natalya came to the ring with a head full of steam. Carmella eluded her and then escaped backstage.
Yeah, it kind of felt like when you go backstage in WWE 2K17.
It really did.
Because I swear, when they cut backstage, Natalya's standing there, and I swear I hear someone, whoever's producing that segment, say, okay, you can go. Because she was just standing there, and then she, after I hear someone off camera say something, she starts to walk forward.
That's great.
And there's Nikki.
Yeah.
And Natalia says to her, "Hey, Nikki, you know, it wasn't me. I didn't beat you up." And Nikki just looks at her and then turns and walks away. Mm-hmm.
It was kind of like when, back in the junior college days, when we used to make movies and we used to edit in camera.
Yeah.
Back, but look, man, we're old. We didn't have these. We couldn't, even if we could, we couldn't, they didn't even have editing on computers for civilians to use. All that shit, Avid was like for the big studios just starting to experiment with that shit. And so we had to edit in camera on a little VHSC camera. Man, we're old. And you'd hear somebody say, "All right, go."
Yeah, I know. That's exactly what it was.
Okay, go.
Okay, go.
Anyways, let's see here. Carmelo and Natalia.
Oh, Baron Corbin had an interview backstage where he compared Kalisto to a mosquito.
Yeah.
And he said, when a mosquito, you know, they fly around until they land on me, and then they go.
Clap.
Splat.
Boom. Blood everywhere. Dengue fever. My dad had dengue once, you know.
Yeah, I think he told me that before.
Came out of it A-okay.
Yeah.
That fucked him up, though, man. That shit'll fuck you up.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that'll fuck you up. Corbin gave an interview. Yeah, that's right. He said he's a mosquito, and he said that he's going to help Kalisto with his speed habit. Metaphorically. It means he's going to beat the shit out of him. That's what he should have said. Kalisto says he likes to do speed. Anyways. I like the end of that interview. The interview bot lady. I don't even know which one interview bot is anymore. Because I feel like there's like three different announcers and they all are three different interviewers and they all kind of vaguely look the same.
There's Charlie on Raw.
She's not interview bot though. She's chock full of personality.
Yeah, she's good.
I like Charlie a lot.
And then there's I don't know who was doing this
Charlie
interview.
Should be on fucking ESPN. She's slumming WWE.
She's really good.
She's really good.
I don't know who interviewed Corbin, but I think that's interview bot.
I think it is too, but is that the same person who
I don't know.
Interviewed Kalisto? Has to be,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it is.
Okay. That's interview bot.
And then there's Renee Young.
And well, yeah, everybody knows Renee Young.
Yeah.
But there isn't a third. I thought there was another one.
I don't think so.
Like a fourth one. Whenever I see interview bot, I always think it's a different person than interview bot. But I think I'm just looking at interview bot. What does she say to Corbin? She said, to start her question, she said something like, "Earlier tonight, Kalisto said speed kills."
She just made a statement. Like there was no question.
Yeah, she had like, I feel like she wanted to say the question, but then she went, And then when he was finished with his answer, he just stood there villainous. I think that's my main problem with Corbin, is that sometimes he's a bit too villainous, and I think that might be more on the side. Because you know how like sometimes at the end of interviews, like they cut away 3 seconds too late.
Yes.
You know?
And so like, they all have to stand there.
It's like when Renee Young gives an interview in 2K.
Yeah.
Well, that was something else.
Yes.
Man, wait, where's your... There was a hype bro backstage interview thing. Not an interview, but they talked at the camera. Was that during their entrance?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So the Ascension is already in the ring. They get the jobber entrance.
Well, then the Ascension get a promo.
Oh, that's right. They did get a promo. That's right. Victor, the skinny one, not looking so skinny anymore. I mean, look, I'm not one to talk. I'm just saying when one is fat, one's skinny, it's nice to differentiate between the two. It's kind of like you and me. Like, you better never get fat.
I don't intend on it.
Exactly, because we can only have one fat guy here. I'm trying my damnedest not to be, but man, that Del Taco is so good stuff. I'm thinking Victor might be the mystery lower-level writer in the WWE who's listening, and he loves the Del Taco, too.
There you go.
That's his Tuesday tradition. Check out the live stream. He's actually Grim Spector. No, maybe he's Alex C. I don't know.
I don't know either.
Checks out the... You can do that on Patreon. So Hype Bro come out, and they do this great little like backstage, you know, promo thing where I have no idea what the hell either of them are saying. But it's amazing.
Yeah, it culminates in them saying that they want to go after the tag team title.
They want the tag team title. Do they know that the Wyatt, that Randy Orton and Bray Wyatt have the tag belts right now?
Do
they
know
that?
I don't know.
Are they up on SmackDown? What's happening? Because, man, they should just be like, you know what, bro? We're going to sit this one out. We're going to see who gets them next and maybe take them on.
We're going to see if we can wrestle the Vaudevillains for the next 3 months and pick up a bunch of easy Ws.
Exactly. Exactly. Wait till these two break up, because chances are they will. They're usually singles competitor. We hype.
Yeah.
Oh, man, because they're not going to beat the Wyatts.
No.
They're not going to beat the Wyatts.
No.
But I'm telling you, this Bray Wyatt Randy Orton thing is going to, I think it's going to culminate. They're going to drop those tag belts sometime before WrestleMania.
Okay.
And you and I are going to be there when the hype bro wins the title. That place is going to go crazy.
The whole...
it's going to be so hype.
The Citrus Bowl is going to be hype.
It's going to be so stinking hype at WrestleMania when Hype Bro wins that belt.
I kind of feel like Hype Bro is going to be in the pre-show match.
No, man. I'm telling you, people love that, guys. I got to start mixing it up a little bit. I like referring to him as both one person and two people in the same sentence.
Yeah. Anyways,
because somebody on Twitter noticed that. They said, "I like how Mojo Rawley has
evolved
into the lone hype bro."
Yeah. It's like the dominant personality has finally taken over the body.
Taken over, exactly. Yeah. It's great.
So Hype Bro won.
Hype Bro totally won, man. I'm telling you, WrestleMania. Hype Bro. And the Ascension also had Chunk Boy had some zombie makeup on. He can't figure out what he's gonna do. I wish one week he comes out as like Ronald McDonald. That'd be rad. That's a weird guy, Ronald McDonald. Miz TV. We had a Miz TV segment featuring Intercontinental Champion Miz.
Yeah.
With Dean Ambrose was his guest.
Yeah. And Dean was talking about how he wasn't really mad at James Ellsworth.
Yeah, but then of course Miz starts egging him on, saying that he's bummed out that he beat up on Ellsworth, and Ellsworth was simply doing what you should have expected this because you manipulated Ellsworth, really laying it at Dean.
Yeah.
And then Miz, to cap it off, and probably kind of a face-turnish thing, he gave Dean a participation award.
And the crowd was chanting, "You deserve it."
Oh my God, that was funny.
That was pretty funny.
That was funny. What a bunch of dicks. Like, it's Dean Ambrose. You can't troll him, but they did. And it was great.
It was pretty funny.
And I gave a thumbs up to the crowd. I was kind of bummed out with the crowd because during Carmella's promo, they were giving her the what.
Yeah.
I don't like that. But evidently, half the people there in attendance were friendos because we were getting tweet after tweet of different angles of the arena.
Yeah.
My goodness gracious. I hope you guys had a good time and stay safe. So Dean Ambrose pretty pissed off at Miz. That brought out Daniel Bryan, who said, Miz, or Dean, you get to take on the Miz tonight in the main event of SmackDown Live. Oh, and on top of that, it's going to be for the Intercontinental Championship.
So this was the quickly put together main event in lieu of AJ versus James Ellsworth.
Yep. Then we had the actual Baron Corbin versus Kalisto match.
Another good match.
Yeah. Look, man, if you wrestle somebody 80 times in the span of 3 weeks, then you're probably going to learn that person very well. You're going to have some good chemistry with that guy. And so, another good match between Corbin and Kalisto. Once again, Corbin won with his end of days finisher.
Yeah.
Still one of my favorite finishers in the bit. Corbin fills the blanks on many of my favorite things in wrestling today. And one of them is his attire, because I love those pants. I think they look rad. Number two, you were not paying attention. I meant to say something, but you look like you were busy over there. Have you seen, maybe you saw it before. Have you seen, so these days when they come out because of the set, they don't really do like traditional video packages.
Yeah.
You notice that? They just have some simple graphics in their name. But
yeah.
Okay. So have you seen Barons? It's like a cityscape of some sort, but it looks all apocalyptic.
Oh yeah.
It's all messed up.
Yeah.
But then like this like blackness just descends upon it. And like, so it just sort of melts away into blackness. And I was like, holy shit, that's really cool.
Huh.
I wonder if Baron came up with that.
Well, I don't know about that.
Okay, so what I want... Oh, but it's a really simple idea. It's not like it's all that complex. So he could have. He could have been like, all right, so I want like post-apocalyptic like skyline. And then it just like bleeds into black. That's something I could hear him saying.
Okay.
I think it was Baron. What do you think?
No.
No? Not Baron?
No.
Just design guy.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, design guy, you get an A-plus from me on that one. Because it looked cool. Nikki Bella with Sophie Great. The fuck? Is a Sophie Gray. Oh, that's that little person. Confirmed child or little person?
She's 13.
Oh, so she should be that small. Okay. All right. I'm just saying. I did, because she looked kind of like an adult, to be honest with you. She looked like a little person adult. I'm just saying. She looked like that. But I didn't know if she was a little person adult or if she was a little...
I didn't know. I didn't know who it was.
She could have either been 40 or 8.
I had to look up...
You say she's 13. She didn't even look 13.
I had to look up a SmackDown recap to see who it even was. Because I had no idea.
She had a British accent, right?
Yeah.
I wonder if she's associated with what culture?
I don't think so.
What culture?
I don't think so.
Probably not. I wonder if they knew, because they do their, on What Culture Extra, they do their live streams.
Oh, yeah.
Them guys, them kids over there, man, they stay up hella late for that What Culture Extra. It's only like $6 a month. I'm giving a shout out because I like those guys.
Yeah.
But anyways, and they do the live stream. Oh, you guys like our live stream. I'm not doing that shit. I'm not staying up till 3 in the morning.
No.
Although here, the only thing that we'd be live streaming at 3 in the morning would be our reaction to like those sex commercials. Like, ooh, get this new dildo.
Yeah.
Or like on Decades TV, old episodes of Hunter.
Yeah.
Maybe old Johnny Carson.
Oh, yeah.
That actually would be cool.
That'd be fun.
Oh, man.
You what's missed...
Oh, yeah. But anyway, Nikki Bella was backstage with her, and she just talked about some weird shit. I didn't even get it. It was so weird. How much do you think WWE made off that?
I don't know, a couple $1,000s.
$20,000?
I don't even think it's that much.
You really? Could you and I get on there, get backstage for a couple $1,000s? I think it's got to be at least 20
right,
grand.
Five.
It's a five. I'll put up $5,000 of my own money right now. It's sitting in my bank account.
Okay.
I'll put that up if we can get on SmackDown.
Okay.
And somebody comes, Apollo Crews comes backstage and talks to us. And then we'll say, Apollo, who stole your soul? Because you look bummed out in that one picture, man. And then we'll get him some Del Taco, and he'll be happy again.
There you go.
I don't know why you're not chipping in on this.
Well, you offered to front the whole amount.
I'll front the whole amount. I want ideas, though. Who do you want to come backstage?
I like Apollo Crews.
You're not giving me anything.
Del Taco's a good idea.
What happened next? Oh, I went to the store.
Yeah, you went to the store, so you missed Chad Gable versus Tyler Breeze.
I didn't miss anything.
I
wouldn't say I missed much, Brian.
No. During the entrances, they cut to something that happened earlier,
it just said earlier.
Where Breezango were talking to American Alpha and issuing citations for fashion violations.
I like how Breezango, at least Hype Bro is like the tag team titles are in their conversations, and the Ascension.
Yeah, they mentioned it too.
Yeah, exactly. Breezango is backstage playing fake fashion police,
and it's funny to think that a few months back we read that they were going to be given a more serious gimmick.
What happened?
And possibly pushed.
Did they piss somebody off? Did they touch Vince's sleeve?
I don't know.
What the fuck happened there? That's weird. Anyways, let me guess. Let's see here. You didn't say who won. Chad Gable versus Tyler Breeze. Can I take a wild guess that Chad Gable picked up the W?
Fairly decisively.
That guy's looking for some tag team title gold.
Yeah.
Silver, whatever it is.
Silver, yeah.
Yeah. And then Breezango. I love Breezango.
I do too.
I think they're great.
They're pretty funny.
They're the Titus O'Neil of SmackDown. I love them, but they're not doing shit with
them.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Millions of dollars. Millions of dollars. Alexa Bliss, came to the ring, and she got the pyro, man. She got like the
similar
fireworks.
To when the Raw after Kevin Owens won the Universal title.
Mm-hmm.
They had a celebration, and Alexa Bliss climbed up the turnbuckle,
held
the belt high,
pyro
going off behind her.
Oh, yeah. And then Becky Lynch came down ready to throw down. She said, I want my rematch now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Alexa Bliss did the old trick where she acted like she was about to throw.
And then she gets out of the ring.
And she hopped out of the ring and
no match.
Got to stepping. So no match. What do you think, Becky Lynch, the rematch? You think she's going to get it back?
If it's on an episode of SmackDown, no.
Mm-hmm.
If it's at the Rumble, then 50-50.
50%, yeah. I'd say 50% too. Then we had our main event of the night. The Ambrose. Dean Ambrose versus The Miz.
Did you say The Ambrose?
I did. I meant to say The Miz. I saw Miz and Ambrose, so I was going to say The Miz, but I said The Ambrose. The Dean Ambrose took on Miz.
It was an okay match.
Yeah, it was all right, but then Ellsworth came down.
Yeah.
So, blah. But
ended up costing Dean the match.
So Dean had the roll up on Miz. And
Ellsworth climbed on the apron. The ref was distracted. By the time he turned back around, it was too late. And then Ambrose saw Ellsworth on the apron, started yelling at him.
Got triggered.
Yeah. And Miz came up, skull-crushing finale, got the win.
Yeah.
So it looks like Dean versus Ellsworth is the next feud for Dean Ambrose.
I like that they're booking the skull-crushing finale strong.
Yeah.
Didn't need two of those to take him down, just the one.
Yeah.
So that's good. And then that's it. That was your SmackDown.
So this is kind of our attitude towards SmackDown right here, both of us with arms crossed.
I know. So it was kind of a lackluster show.
Yeah.
But they can't all be fire.
Well, this is three straight weeks that SmackDown has been...
It's kind of booty.
Yeah.
Be honest, kind of booty. Because nothing new is going on. Like, when your high spot is Baron Corbin continually destroying Kalisto, that's a problem.
Yeah.
And I like Baron. I like... You know, I'll tell you this, though. SmackDown's off weeks have been a boon for Baron Corbin in my eyes because it just illustrates, oh, wow, he is the one thing that still feels kind of... And I know you guys are going to give me shit because he's been feuding with Kalisto forever. But I feel like any moment now, is there anything left out of Baron Corbin and Kalisto? Was there any reason for them to keep on fighting each other?
I don't think so.
At this point, right? That had to have been their blow-off tonight on SmackDown.
Yeah.
What possible reason? Oh, okay. The Rumble is the next time we see SmackDown at a pay-per-view. So he's probably going to be in the Rumble.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would think so.
I could see him lasting pretty long.
Yeah.
You think Kalisto's going to take him out of the Rumble? You know? I mean, that could be his one redeeming thing
that he does. Yeah.
Then maybe he moves on after that. Hopefully. Hopefully that doesn't rekindle their feud.
I know.
Yeah. Anyways. Hopefully Baron Corbin moves on. At this point, Baron needs to move on. Yes. And I'm excited for him to move on.
I felt like Baron and Dolph feuded for a year. But it wasn't. It was a matter of a couple months.
It had at least 4 months.
But it felt like forever.
Yeah, but 4 months is a long time, man. That's a third of a year. Anyways, you want to answer some questions?
Sure.
Let me go over to the Patreon.
I'm there. Smap D. Jones.
One thing to remember, too, about our Patreon at patreon.com/StephenLarson, we go to those Patreon questions from a dollar up. All you got to do is a dollar a month, and your question will be
priority
consideration. We can't answer all of them.
Yeah,
can't do that.
Yeah, Smap D. Jones. Is there any Ring of Honor talent that can make it to the main roster, or will all signings go to NXT? Could WWE help or make some kind of deal with Ring of Honor by loaning some of their greener, quote unquote, greener talent to the indie? It may help the talent develop by making them work on their persona on their own, and Ring of Honor has a history of helping talent find their own voice. I think that'd be interesting if they could forge some sort of relationship, and it'd be, in some ways, I guess, similar to the working relationship WWF and ECW had
right
back in the mid-late 90s.
Yeah, yeah.
As far as Ring of Honor talent going straight to Maine, this weekend on Count Out Sunday, we may talk about that.
We may talk about that possibility.
Yeah.
Make it a man, yeah. Matthew Auday. If WWE Creative came to you guys to create a new character for their company, who would you create? What is his or her backstory? What is their finisher, and how would you book them? Well, I would create a character named Mecha Santa.
So, yeah, I would create Top Notch Super Best.
Yeah, I would so win that. They would look at yours and be like...
Fun Hoss.
You probably get some pushback from Rooster Teeth on that one. Couldn't do that.
Boss Hoss.
Boss Hoss. Yeah, I don't know about that. Mecha Santa. Definitely Mecha Santa. The closest you'd ever come is Captain Fun Wrestling. Which I would actually, you know what, be honest with you, I'd pay to see that.
Captain Fun Wrestling is incredible.
I would totally pay to see, man, if anybody out there cosplayed as Captain Fun Wrestling. Man.
That'd be fantastic.
I'll be honest. I would ditch my efforts to derail fun.
Okay.
If somebody cosplayed.
Please.
I would no longer try to derail fun.
Alex Cartwright. Book how Mojo would interact with the Wyatts in a potential feud.
How would Mojo interact with the Wyatt?
I assume he would do the dick wiggle, and yeah. Bray would completely no-sell it.
Yeah. I'll guarantee you this. At no time will Mojo Rawley's dick ever hover above Bray Wyatt's head. Luke Harper? Very possible. Bray Wyatt? Not a chance in hell.
Nope.
No. No, I think that Bray would sort of laugh him off, you know?
Yeah.
And then be tickled if Mojo had some fight in him and then, you know, either dispatched of him or just laughed off another loss like Bray laughs off all of his losses. Your mom's favorite wrestler, Adam Mayhem. They all think that the lack of reaction to Carmella has to do with the fact that she hasn't really changed from her babyface persona in terms of her music entrance and look now that she's a heel. Kind of the same way Roman Reigns never shed his Shield persona once the group broke up. It's either that or the fact that people want her to be with Enzo and Cass so bad.
I mean, I think she's been doing pretty decent work.
She's trying to be a pure heel. That's yeah. the thing. And you're not going to, off the bat, you're not going to get like a big reaction for that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't mean.
You're there. The fact that you're there more to get people pissed off at you.
Yes. And the fact that she's getting the what treatment.
Yeah. That's, yeah.
It's irritating, but also, I mean, there's heels that have been around longer and a much higher profile that still get that treatment too. So that unto itself, I don't think it means anything.
Yeah.
You know, does it reflect poorly on her work?
Yeah. I mean, they wet Bray Wyatt every once in a while.
Yeah. But if she had won one of those matches against Nikki Bella, I think that would have done a lot to help her out.
I think that that last match, if they had really let her get brutal with Nikki, even the one at No Mercy.
Yeah.
If they had really let her get brutal, then you might have seen a bit more of a reaction.
Yeah.
But
also, I mean, they've been feuding for this months,
yeah,
and this really exposes the how thin the SmackDown roster is.
Yeah. Rex Robinson, how will they book Eric Rowan's return to the Wyatt family?
I don't know. I don't know if he'll come back to the Wyatt family. He's injured again, right?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Yeah, he is.
Well, they probably have a few months to decide.
He has to come back to the Wyatts. Yeah. Dude. He's dead in the water if he doesn't. And I hate to say it, but I think Luke Harper, I mean, unless they went ahead with, it would take a pretty big investment in time and resources to get Luke Harper successfully out of the Wyatts. Because we talked about it before in previous episodes.
Yeah, he would need a pretty significant repackage.
And and it's not just a repackage, but you can't just repackage him as like a new character.
Yeah, you know, I know.
You mean
know.
As like, yeah, like you'd have to take up TV time.
Yeah.
And even that would be difficult. Luke Harper is like a supremely talented wrestler. Eric Rowan doesn't have quite as much to offer as Luke Harper, and so I would think that he's going to go straight back in the Wyatt family, and he'll have him help somebody win.
Yeah.
You know, that's what he does.
Patreon champion Carlos Hackworth. What's up, friendos?
Hi.
Hi. If you could perform a finishing move on any wrestler ever, who would it be and why?
I would perform the sharpshooter on Bret Hart. And I'd be laughing. And I'd say, ring the bell! Ring the bell! Damn it! Damn it!
Man.
Or on Ric Flair, because he'd sell the shit out of it. I mean, the figure four, that is.
Yeah.
Put the figure four.
And then he would reverse the pressure on you.
I know, then I'd be fucked.
Yeah. Well, until you got out of it.
Yeah. I would casually reach back and grab the rope.
Those are both good answers.
Yeah. All my answers are good.
Well,
certified chin. Continuing on now. I believe James Ellsworth is champion material. Okay, next question. He says, do you think Ellsworth could be in the Rumble and eliminate someone?
I hope not.
No! No! If they do that, then it's dumb. That's what I think. If they do that, it's dumb.
Yep.
Austin Luth.
New patron. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Austin. It was me, Austin. It was me. Damn it.
Who benefits more from this partnership, Bray or Randy?
Bray. He got a belt because of Randy Orton.
Yep.
But also, you know what? But Randy is fun and interesting, and yep. I like Randy now. Yeah. So Randy, too.
They have both benefited. Randy. Me.
Randy.
What is the future of SmackDown Live's mid-card? Well, right now it's...
Barren Wasteland.
Three guys. Right. You have The Miz, Dolph, and Baron Corbin.
Yeah.
Well, I guess Kalisto's mid-card, too.
Well, by virtue of the fact that he's feuding with another mid-carder.
Yeah.
But once Baron leaves him behind in his apocalyptic wasteland cityscape, then Kalisto will be not seen again. Gene the Grappler, Chandler 3 Productions. Hi, friendos.
Hi.
Out of all the titles in either WWE Raw or SmackDown Live, which one is truly lesser? Cruiserweight. I would say, honestly, I would say probably the SmackDown Women's Championship.
I might say the Universal title.
Ooh, controversy here on Going in Raw. Universal title, sub Alexa Bliss.
I mean, the Universal title is supposed to be the top belt on Raw.
In the universe, and which is supposed to be the top show.
Yeah.
And, man.
But the U.S. title is booked at, like, the top belt on that show.
I have a hard time disagreeing with that logic, man. You might be right about that.
Haven Elric, if you had to take a shoot punch from anyone on the WWE roster, who would it be? Haven Elric feels like Jack Gallagher's would hurt, but at least he'd buy me dinner after. Because he's a gentleman. If you had to take a punch, a real punch from anybody on the WWE roster, who would it be? Oh. James Ellsworth.
Yeah, Ellsworth. Yeah, but you think, yeah, I don't know. You said that you don't think I could beat Ellsworth in a fight.
I didn't say that. I said it wasn't a given that you would.
Okay.
You made it sound like it was a guarantee. I'm like, hold on. No, it's not a given. My
Vegas betting odds.
It's not a given.
Like 1,000%, $1,000.
You'd be minus 150 maybe.
Minus one? Are you insane? That's nearly even odds.
Yeah.
Oh, you're insane. Minus 1,500 maybe.
No.
You'd be plus 50. If you could take a shoot punch from anyone on the WWE roster, it would have to be a girl. Girls can't punch. Women! No, I got to think about this. Hold on a second. I got to think about this.
You know, Dean Ambrose's work punches don't look that great.
I would...
They don't. His work punches are, right. are not good.
I gotta say this. Alexa Bliss. I'm sure it'd probably hurt, but it wouldn't do any damage. Cause she's small.
She used to be
she was a bodybuilder.
Yeah.
I know, but she's the smallest out of everybody there.
I don't think that matters, man.
I think it totally does. Who okay, well give me an answer then.
I already did.
You said Ellsworth?
Yeah.
You would rather take a punch from James Ellsworth than Alexa Bliss?
I think so. I think Alexa Bliss has more muscle mass.
I appreciate what you're saying in terms of our feminist predilections. However, if I'm being real about it, I don't want to. I'd be fine taking a punch from Alexa.
Okay.
I would sell the shit out of it to make her feel good.
Okay.
And it might hurt a little bit. Not by much. Oh man, you gotta keep it real though. You gotta keep it real.
I am.
Ellsworth?
Yeah.
Last week you were saying that he could whoop my ass.
I didn't say that. I said it wasn't a given that you would win. It wouldn't be a guaranteed victory.
What a great question. Spurs real debate. John Herkoff, if you got to pick a WWE wrestler to be your professor.
This is a great question.
What a batch of great questions. To be a professor for a class, who would it be and what class would he or she teach? You know, I like to think that Going in Raw started thanks to Professor Perry. Actually, it was kind of more thanks to Jenny French dropping out of class, because then I didn't have somebody to sit with, and I noticed you down there, and I was like, oh, it's Larson. I'm not sure, because we used to sit in the back for like the first week.
Yeah.
And I don't even know if I noticed that you were in that class until like she left, and I was like, well, wait, what's he doing here? I think it was something like that. I could be wrong. And then you and I ended up bonding in that class.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's correct. So that didn't answer the question, though.
WWE wrestler to be your professor for a class, who would it be?
I mean, I guess Otunga.
Oh, yeah.
He's a graduate of Harvard
Mojo
Law.
Raleigh. Youngest yeah. MBA. We found out tonight. Youngest MBA in Boston University.
University of Maryland.
University of Maryland, yeah.
That's a good answer, too.
I wonder what he got his MBA in. What? Oh, business. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's what MBA is.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say. Don't look at me like that. That's so annoying. I'll punch your face right now. Trust me, you wouldn't want to shoot punch for me right now. Ruben Gutierrez, what did you guys think of the Ascension on SmackDown yesterday? They had a nice backstage promo before their match versus Hype Bros. Looked great in the match and was even talked up by the commentary. Out of respect for Ruben Gutierrez's obvious bias towards the Ascension, for some reason, I'm going to say... They're doing good.
I mean, they were...
Victor's looking soft.
They were a dominant tag team in NXT, so there's talent there.
I'm allowed to fat shame guys, right? Because I'm fat.
That's your decision to make, man.
Victor. You need to get back in the weight room. Or cardio. Just cardio, man. There has to be one skinny guy. Can't be two fat guys.
So let me ask you this. Hmm. When you get skinny... Mm-hmm. Do I then have carte blanche to get?
Oh, I appreciate that you're saying when. That's really nice of you. You got faith in your old buddy.
Yeah.
What now? Do you have carte blanche to get fat?
Yeah.
You deep down, you want to be fat, don't you? You look at me when I eat and you're like, man, I wish I was that. I wish I had the lack of self-discipline and the lack of self-worth. No, I'm joking. Oh man. I literally can't get as skinny as you. I wouldn't want to because you're just tiny.
Yeah.
But you know, I want to be like big up here. Uh-huh. I just want to get rid of my gut.
Yeah.
I just want to get rid of this guy, but then be like massive, like roid. Like I'm really starting to consider doing roids.
Okay.
Just massive amounts of steroids, like horse steroids.
Well, that might affect our work relationship because you'll probably won't be that much fun to be around.
You keep looking at me like you looked at me earlier. Like I'm an asshole idiot, and yeah, you're gonna get some roid rage, buddy boy. Anyways, you know what? This is what I love. Whenever I criticize something on Twitter, and somebody says, "Oh no, I really liked it," there's a part of me feels kind of bad because I'm like, you know, I don't want to shit on something that other people like. You know what I mean? And so I like that Ruben Gutierrez.
Yeah,
he likes the Ascension. It's good.
Yeah,
it's good. The real Jacob Omega.
Yes. The real Jacob Omega is a fan of Bray Wyatt.
Hmm.
Jacob Omega believes that he is world title material. How would you book Bray from now until he wins the world title?
I would love it to be some sort of deal between him and Randy Orton. Like, continue this thing.
I think that's what's going to be, too.
Of amassing, even, like, go through the Intercontinental title somehow. Mm-hmm. Like, have him just roll.
Collect all the belts.
Collect all the belts. That'd be rad. Love that. Queso Weight Classic winner, Zach Humphrey. On a scale of 1 to 10, how upset were you that Mojo didn't do the dick wiggle this week? It's always a 10.
11.
And yeah, it's always like up there in the teens when he doesn't do the dick wiggle, man. And I am kind of disappointed. Somebody on Twitter asked, I forgot who it was, asked, are you disappointed? Like, he's got Zubaz, but dick wiggle is enhanced when he's got the little tiny chonies on, which are like way too small for him.
Mm-hmm.
Like his butt starts to eat up his underwear. Mm-hmm. And his dick is everywhere?
Yeah.
I kind of miss that. I wish that we would get a Mojo Rawley web series where he wears the Zubaz, or Zubaz, as JBL said tonight.
Yeah.
And then in the ring, he wears dick pants.
Okay.
That's what I'm thinking.
Okay.
You're up, James Rodriguez.
James Rodriguez. How would you write a Ready to Rumble type of movie centered around the WWE stars of the Attitude Era?
Well, earlier, like on yesterday's Raw, I had a pretty good story synopsis for Dirty Deeds the Porno.
Mm-hmm.
So it would just be like that.
What about if it's like a road comedy with the Click? Oh, like a Todd Phillips directed road comedy.
Right. That'd be good too. Mm-hmm. I'd like that. That'd be good. Be just raunchy as hell. You heard about that story time? Look at this. 82% uploaded. I want it all uploaded now.
Yeah, it's been almost 4 hours.
Man, this is insane. YouTube's falling apart, man.
I didn't hear the particulars of the Triple H story, right?
Oh, no. So they're doing that animated show, Storytime?
Yeah.
Well, they had posted a clip on like WWE.com or YouTube or both where Triple H is telling a story about the Click at a restaurant. And somebody is like blasted drunk or something. I forget what it was. Or maybe some of them were. And then they took the clip down, and it's nowhere to be found now. So I don't know what that's all about. There was like speculation, all sorts of speculation. What's it about?
Interesting.
Yeah. Joshua the Dynamic Knight Martinez. Does the dream match Cena versus Taker WrestleMania this year really need the title? There's pros and cons to it.
Yeah.
The pro is it does make the match much bigger. Career versus title. The massive amount of cons, I think, way overweigh those pros. Because, like we've said before at WrestleMania, you want to spread your money matches out. You want to spread your money features of matches out. So a title match is one type of a money match.
Yeah.
So you can put that on, you know, let's say for here, he gives an example, Samoa Joe, AJ Styles. Okay. And then, so that's money, because AJ Styles versus Samoa Joe, while we think it's money, that needs money added to it. It does. Taker versus Cena, they are so much more money than anybody else. They don't need the title. Just like Rock Cena, too, didn't really need that title. Yeah, if no, you had added CM Punk to point. It, that would have made sense. See what I'm saying? What do you think?
If this is The Undertaker's last ride,
mm-hmm.
and they want to give him one more title run,
mm-hmm.
out of respect for his career, I wouldn't have a problem with it.
Oh, I wouldn't have a problem with it.
And granted, you want to spread the money around, so to say, but the top of your card, you want it to be huge money.
Yeah.
And when you have Lesnar Goldberg,
mm-hmm.
you know, pretty much confirmed, not confirmed, but we assume that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, for sure.
Or already at the top of the card.
Yeah.
And then you have Undertaker Cena, again, top of the card match, but if mm-hmm. you put the belt on it, mm-hmm. it kicks it up another notch.
Yeah.
Especially if the stipulation is Cena, you know, if Cena beats Undertaker, Undertaker retires.
The other side of that, to bolster your argument, is that you also have the Universal title, which can then be used as money in itself.
Yep.
So yeah, I don't know. And you know what they could do? Well, you know what they could do at WrestleMania? Assuming they want to keep Shinsuke around through WrestleMania on NXT, they could do a first ever NXT title defense at WrestleMania.
That'd be cool.
I doubt they'd ever do it.
No, but because they have TakeOver the night before.
Oh, yeah, no, I know. I'm just saying, you want to make WrestleMania extra special, and you want Shinsuke Nakamura at WrestleMania, there's a way to do
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
But, God, hopefully they bring him up before then, man. I really hope they do. Steve Eugene.
Yes.
Fandango is just awful to Steve Eugene while he really enjoys No Way Jose and Rich Swann. Which wrestlers had the best/worst dancing gimmicks in your opinion? And he's asking to clarify, was Booker T a dancing gimmick? No. He just did that. It was cool. Well, obviously, Larson. Who is the greatest dancing gimmick of all time?
Alex Wright.
You got that right. Exactly. Disco Inferno.
Dusty in WWF.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Probably up there. Here's the thing about dancing gimmicks. These are all best worst. Because they're all amazing and they're all terrible. But up there, Brodus Clay. That dude was punished. He got punished into that gimmick, and he made gold out of it.
Yeah.
And it gave us Naomi. Europe.
Oh, I was thinking of more dancing gimmicks.
That's enough.
Nicholas.
There's the Hurricane and his buddies, but they were more of a pop group.
Oh, the Three Count.
Yeah, but they did dance.
Nicholas Viola. Relating to 205 Live, which Cruiserweight has the best theme song? Nicholas Viola is partial to Cedric Alexander theme.
I don't know them well enough at this point, but my gut says Rich Swann because it does always make me want to dance.
Yeah.
So Rich Swann.
Yeah, that's a good answer.
But I don't. Yeah, I like. I know CJ.
What about Jack Gallagher? Do you like his theme?
Oh yeah, but that's not really nobody like. That's old school. That's not like an original WWE creation.
I know.
But yeah, I mean that's an amazing song. Are you kidding me? That gets me hyped. Retired Dwayne Nix. So Dean Ambrose is now in the Intercontinental title picture. World's best. Personally, I like it. Dean is good, but he has a lackluster world title reign. What do you guys think? Maybe going one-on-one with The Miz for the IC strap is just what Dean needs.
I don't think that's a permanent feud.
I don't think so either. I think he's going to hop in and hop out.
Yep.
You never know.
Yeah. Going in Raw, I mean, I don't know who else The Miz would wrestle.
I don't know who else Dean Ambrose is going to wrestle. Yep. Well, I guess he's going to continue with AJ. I guess.
No, I don't think so. I think it's going to be Dean and Ellsworth for a little bit. Because AJ, I think, is going to move on to Undertaker at Rumble.
AJ, Dean, Ellsworth at Rumble. When is the Rumble?
End of January.
That's a ways off,
I know,
dude.
But SmackDown doesn't have any other pay-per-views until then.
They've got 8 weeks of programming to fill.
I know.
That's a lot of time for AJ. Who'd you say? Dean and Ellsworth?
Yeah.
That's a lot of Dean and Ellsworth to fill.
Well, we've already had 4 or 5 weeks of it. Going in Raw gold medalist Michael Cruz. SmackDown has a really big announced team. How would you feel if they split the teams like they did in WCW, where they would do two-man teams, one for each hour? Also, who would you pair if that happened? I think I'd do Tom Phillips and Otunga, and then do Moro and JBL.
I would go opposite because I'd want at least one team that that made me happy. Otunga doesn't make me happy, and Moro doesn't make me happy. I would say Tom Phillips and JBL. Put those two together.
But then you'd have a whole hour of one team.
Hopefully that'd be the first hour.
Okay.
Because usually that's the crap hour.
Okay.
And I'd get Tom Phillips for the main event. Although they're never going to do that because it's Moro. Wait, so WCW did that? Two-man teams?
I think so, yeah.
Explain. I thought it was always Shivani.
Remember for a while it was Shivani and... What's his name? Mark Madden?
Wasn't that like later though?
Yeah, it was later.
Like the heyday of Nitro was Shivani, Heenan.
And Tanay.
And
Zabisco.
And
yeah.
Zabisco, yeah.
And then Tanay.
Tanay came in with his weird mouth. He was always like this. That always freaked Big Jim out. Robert Chief Running Water. Hey, friendos, with the new Wyatt family utilizing both the Sister Abigail and pairing it with an RKO in their match with Slater and Rhino. What tag team would you create that would use both their finishers to create one? This is a good question. Another good question. What other two finishers could you use? I would love to see this. This just popped in my head. You want to hear it?
Yeah.
All right. Stone Cold Steve Austin and DDP. And I'm kind of stealing this from the RKO.
Okay.
But as Austin goes down for the stunner... DDP holds onto the guy's neck and gives him a diamond cutter at the same time.
Okay.
But from his back.
Okay. How about this?
Okay.
AJ Styles and Neville.
Okay.
Ooh. So as AJ does the Styles clash,
yeah.
Neville does the red arrow and helps AJ push the guy down.
Oh, that's too much. Then you definitely have people dying in the ring. Dolph's super kick and... The Young Bucks super kick. Steve Alesi. Did I hear JBL inadvertently foreshadowing the restart of the Orton Wyatt program by saying the only way they lose the tag titles is by imploding? I don't know about that. I think
seems like the natural conclusion of their story.
Nobody can beat them but themselves. Yeah.
John Grogan.
But you never know. There could be some enterprising young WWE writer out there saying, hey, have JBL said this. It's foreshadowing. Yeah. What's foreshadowing?
John Grogan, what is your guy's opinion of having rematches immediately after the pay-per-view? We saw the tag team rematch and the Corbin Kalisto match again with the same results.
Yeah, how are you on that? Immediate rematches.
The tag title one, I thought was, well, both of them tonight I thought were fine.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes when they have three or four rematches from the pay-per-view that just happened, it's a bit much.
I think it works in selective badges. Here's why I don't
exactly.
Here's why I don't like Slater Rhino tonight. Because you and I both called it. We knew it was going to happen. And they're just sweeping them under the rug.
Yeah.
That's why I don't like it. Because it would have been much more interesting if Slater and Rhino came out with... If Wyatt and Orton were doing their weird shtick, right? And we know that they're above everybody else. We understand that. But how much would it do to Slater and Rhino if while the Wyatts were sort of doing their preening thing in the ring... It's kind of like, how do you shoot the devil in the back? You know, what if you miss?
Yeah.
What if they try to take on the Wyatts during their little celebratory thing?
Especially since we don't know who's going to take on the Wyatts next. I agree.
Give them some balls, carry it out a couple weeks, and you can do it on SmackDown later for a main event.
Yeah. I was actually surprised that they just didn't make that match the main event tonight. Give them 20 minutes.
They're the tag champions, you know? They were super over.
Yep.
And they still are, kind of.
Yeah.
Jason the Cabbie. He says, since he's not going to be able to see this week's SmackDown Live until after you guys record, and everyone else has been asking balls crazy questions lately, his question is, if we were to host an evening with a formal dinner party, French aristocracy style, because classy and shit, who would you pick? John Cena, number one, obviously. Yeah, he knows all about formal dinners.
Yeah.
Rusev, so we can talk about national and international affairs.
Yes, good idea.
Yes. Yeah, socioeconomic conditions of Bulgaria. Lana.
There's no number, just whomever.
Yeah.
We'll say five. That's three.
All right, that's three.
The
vaudevillains, so I can learn more about what it was like to live in the early 1900s.
And this man.
He's just sitting there gnawing on a bone.
Yeah.
Do you think Silas Young has ever been to a formal dinner?
I don't know, but I'd like to find out.
I don't know. You might find out the hard way. All right, our final question. Intercontinental champion Jefferson Nakamura. He's always good for questions. He says, book an all-new, all-Haas stable from the entire current roster, and how much body oil does it take to keep them boys greasy? Did you notice how much body oil Rhino had tonight?
No.
That's what is going to happen. Him and Heath Slater are gonna split up. No, even better. They're going to be the cornerstone of a new all-Haas faction. Okay?
Okay.
It's going to be all Haas's and Heath Slater.
Okay.
And Heath Slater tries to be a Haas, but he can't put on any weight.
Oh.
And so he's just trying to, he just eats and eats. So we've got Rhino and Heath Slater.
Connor from the Ascension.
And Victor. He's in about there. 6 months, he's going to be there if he keeps up at his current pace.
Luke Harper,
definitely. Let's see here. Is Bobby Duncombe Jr. still alive? Can we bring him back? Stan Hansel's still alive. He looks great.
He says,
"Oh, current roster. Okay."
Kane.
Enough with Kane. Kane's not a Haas. He's a monster. There's a difference between
corporate
the two.
Kane.
No. Yeah, Haas has ratty clothes or very basic tights and usually cowboy boots. That's a Haas, and they're very oily. Kane doesn't come off as oily.
Well, neither does Luke Harper.
Yeah, you can't really tell all that hair. It's either oil or hair or both.
Who else?
You know, it'd be great.
I feel like Raw is lacking in the Haas category.
They really are. Kevin Owens, if he grew his hair out, would be a magnificent Haas.
Mm-hmm.
He'd be like King Supreme Haas.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. That's good. Okay, there we go. That's good.
Okay.
Are you ready for trivia?
Yeah, let's do trivia.
What is this called again?
We don't have a name for it. We've never come up with a name for it.
All right, pick a trivia question. See if either of us have had it before.
These cards are all mixed up. Like
I know.
The chaos cards and the
no,
trivia
I know.
Cards.
Oh, I get it. I get what you're saying. And I agree.
I don't believe we've had this one.
I'm almost positive we've had this one. Wait.
Okay. Then put it away.
Hold on. No, we haven't.
Okay.
But I think you're going to know a couple
of these. Yeah, you're going to know quite a few of these.
Good for you.
I'll ask first.
Okay.
Which of these stipulation matches is bogus? Can't touch the top rope match, crybaby match, or kiss my foot match?
I'm going to say the first one.
Can't touch the top rope match?
Yeah.
Correct. That is not. Hold up a finger.
Who was the first WWE personality to have a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame?
Hogan.
Vince McMahon.
Interesting.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. You're up. I'm up.
True or false, in their boxing match at WrestleMania 2, Roddy Piper lost to Mr. T by knockout.
Roddy Piper lost to Mr. T by knockout? True.
No, that's false.
Wait, what happened?
Piper lost by DQ because he threw
That's right. We said that before.
Yeah, he body slammed him.
Where did we say that before?
In
some episode
of the countouts.
Countouts.
One of the countouts,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Before being rebranded as Extreme, what did the E?
Eastern.
This is a tough one.
Eastern.
Put your finger up.
How many reigns has Batista had as the World Heavyweight Champion? Oh, sorry. 3, 4, or 5?
Well, it was going to be the 3 or 4, so I'm going to say... I'll say 3.
4.
Should have said 4. What was the name of Randy Savage's wrestler character in Spider-Man from 2002?
Oh, man.
You're not going to remember this.
No, I'm not going to remember that. I'm not going to remember it.
Bonesaw McGraw.
Yeah.
I might have remembered the Bonesaw part.
Maybe. How long did Honky Tonk Man reign as Intercontinental Champion?
In days?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or weeks.
Okay.
Both are on the back of the card here.
Okay. 52?
64. 64
weeks. Weeks. Okay. All right. I was going to say.
454 days.
Yeah, I didn't know that. What foreign object did Bob Orton have with him at all times in 1985 and 1986?
A cast on his arm.
Yeah, very good. That's what I figured.
Last one for you. On what late-night talk show did Jerry the King Lawler slap Andy Kaufman right out of his seat?
The David Letterman Late Show, yeah.
Well, it was late night, but late it was night. Letterman.
It was Letterman. What superstar? So, okay, here we go. Let's see if you're going to get this. I wouldn't have got this. What superstar once had the longest name in WWE history, not counting nicknames?
Wow.
Does anybody get a card if we tie?
No.
That's a bummer.
That's a tough question.
It's not easy.
I'll say Bruno.
Stephanie McMahon Helmsley.
Oh, yeah.
24 characters.
I guess Hunter Hearst Helmsley is longer than Bruno, too.
B-R.
I mean, San Martino is a long last
name. It is. No, it's a good answer. Bruno Sammartino. That's 15. That, if I spell it right, that's 15.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't beat 24, though.
Nope.
If I'm not mistaken, if my math is correct, I'm no MBA, but 24 is bigger than 15.
That's true.
That's right. Well, it's washed. Nobody gets a card.
No
card. Can we each get one card?
All right.
It's a tizey?
All right.
I just like getting the cards, to be honest with you. Choose a card. Some of these might be mine or yours. I don't know.
No, I've set mine aside.
Mine are probably in there somewhere. What'd you get?
Diva photo shoot.
Oh, man. I want to trade. Can I get that one?
Nope. That's mine.
I get triple threat match. You don't want a Benoit doing his moonsault on these guys? Come on. Let's trade.
No.
You don't want a triple threat match? That's way cooler than that. Come on. I need something. We're going on a desert island with these things.
No.
Well, you're a big drag. I'll give you one sticker. I'll give you a sticker for
there's
that.
There's a whole pile of them over there. I can take as many as I want.
Can you?
Yes.
Is that part of the rules of
yes.
trivia? All right. Well, hey, listen. We're going to be doing Dirt Sheet remotely. Is that correct?
Correct.
Because you're taking off.
Yeah.
So it's a good end to our work week. Are you taking that shirt with you?
No.
You get, but don't
no,
you?
I'm done.
You're done with the shirt?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Because we have stuff going
Did
up.
You ever do a Dirt Sheet?
No, but I mean, I fulfilled my week of programming.
I think, but that requires a Dirt Sheet, too.
No, it doesn't.
Dirt Sheet's part of our programming.
No, because that...
Did you do something on Friday with a shirt? Or on Thursday?
I feel like... I mean, like, we shot everything today, so the last two podcasts.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it. I wore it on 10 for the win. That should count for two of our shows.
Oh, that's because you didn't bring another shirt. That's fine. You know what? You're going to be that way, you can be that way.
I'll wear it one day next week. There you go. That satisfies my week.
Okay. Fair enough. Anyways, give me two sweet, man, for good travels. All right. Let's do this right there. Big pound on the shoulder of my best buddy right there. Anyways, that's it for now. Thanks for... Oh, be sure... YouTube now. You got to smash that like button.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why it's taking so long
to upload.
Too
many people
are
smashing that like button.
Not enough people are smashing our likes.
I thought maybe too many and it broke it.
Look at this one, though. Look at who won at TLC. Look at our TLC review. 1,700 likes.
Smashing that like button.
They're smashing the like button. Thank you out there for smashing that like button. And, of course, our Patreons. Anybody hitting that subscribe download button, we really appreciate it. And be sure to subscribe to the channel if you haven't, because people apparently are being unsubscribed too.
Yep.
Yeah. Anyways, until next time, talk to you guys later.
Thank you. Goodbye. Bye.